हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. 7 चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल्ड प्रहलाद पैसिफाइज द लॉर्ड विथ प्रेयर्स. टेक्स्ट 41. एवं एवं स्वकर्म पतितं भववैतरण्या अन्योन्य जन्म मरणासन भीत भीतं पश्यन् जनं स्वपर विग्रह वैरमैत्रम् हन्तेति पारचर पिप्रिहि मूढं मद्य हन्तेति पारचर पिप्रिहि मूढं मद्य एवं स्वकर्म पत एवं. माय डियर लॉर्ड, यू आर ऑलवेज ट्रांसेंडेंटली सिचुएटेड ऑन द अदर साइड ऑफ द रिवर ऑफ डेथ. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj, a pure Vaishnava, prays to the Lord not only for himself but for all other suffering living entities. There are two classes of Vaishnavas, the Bhajanandis and the Goshti Anandis. The Bhajanandis worship the Lord only for their own personal benefit, but the Goshtianandis try to elevate all others to Krishna consciousness so that they may be saved. Fools who cannot perceive repeated birth and death and the other miseries of materialistic life cannot be sure of what will happen to them in their next birth. Indeed, these foolish, materially contaminated rascals have manufactured an irresponsible way of life that does not consider the next life. They do not know that according to one's own activities, one receives a body selected from 8,400,000 species. These rascals have been described in Bhagavad Gita as Dushkritino Mudhaha. Non-devotees, those who are not Krishna conscious, must engage in sinful activities and therefore they are Mudhas, fools and rascals. They are such fools that they do not know what will happen to them in their next life. Although they see varieties of living creatures eating abominable things, pigs eating stool, crocodiles eating all kinds of flesh and so on, they do not realize that they themselves, because of their practice of eating all kinds of nonsense in this life, will be destined to eat the most abominable things in their next life. A Vaishnava is always afraid of such an abominable life, and to free himself from such horrible conditions, he engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. The Lord is compassionate to them and therefore he appears for their benefit. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Bhagavad Gita 4.7. The Lord is always ready to help the fallen souls. But because they are fools and rascals, they do not take to Krishna consciousness and abide by the instructions of Krishna. Therefore, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally the Supreme Lord Krishna, he comes as a devotee to preach the Krishna consciousness movement. Yara dekha tare kaha Krishna upadesh. One must therefore become a sincere servant of Krishna. Amar agyaya guru hoya tara aidesh. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 7.128. One should become a guru and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world simply by preaching the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Om. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudadei Pushpavantau Chitra Shandau Tamonudau Ugropyanograyevayam Subhaktanam Drike Shri Keshari Vasupotanam Annesham Agra Vikramaham Evam Sukarma Patitam Bhavavaitaranyam Anyonya Janma Maranashana Bhita Bhitam Pashyan Janam Suparavigraha Vairamaitram Vanteti Parachar Piprihi Moodham Adhya. My dear Lord, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering, and by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. So, Prahlad Maharaj here in his prayers is requesting the Lord to shower his mercy on all the living entities. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport begins the purport by saying that this is a quality of a Vaishnava. A pure Vaishnava prays to the Lord not only for himself but for all other suffering living entities. Prahlad Maharaj, when in this prayer, he addresses the Lord as one who is free from death, or one who is situated on the other side of the river of death. So, this negates the concept of the impersonalists, that the Lord, his form, is also a product of material nature. If the Lord's form was a product of material nature, or if the Lord was also a product, his activities and his present form were a result of his previous karma, then he could not be situated on the other side of the river of death. So it's very important that this concept is very clear. The impersonalists, they believe that there's not much difference between the incarnations of the Lord and the living entities. In fact, when a living entity becomes purified, then he is as good as the incarnation of the Lord. He becomes the incarnation of the Lord. And they have an equation for this. The living entity in the mode of ignorance is in the lower species of life. Living entity in the mode of passion are human beings and demigods, and the living entity in the mode of goodness is Krishna and his incarnations. And ultimately, when the living entity becomes free from the modes, then that is Parabrahman, for which they have no description, they have no understanding. So they speak a lot on these modes of material nature, and they also explain how the living entity becomes entangled in the modes. They have no idea of what is beyond the modes. That is the problem. If a devotee who is well versed in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness knows the weaknesses of the opposing party, the party which is presenting some arguments against Vaishnava philosophy. Srila Prabhupada once compared a devotee to someone who knew martial arts. He said, just like a martial arts expert, a person who's expert in kung fu or taekwondo or karate or some of those martial art forms. Their main mode of offense is to find the weakness in the opponent and keep on hitting at that weakness. The more one can do that repeatedly, the easier it becomes to defeat the opponent. So Prabhupada, he would often say, the Mayavadis, this is their weakness. They have no idea of what is transcendence. They may speak, they may seem very scholarly of the varieties or of the nature of the material world, but they have no idea of what is transcendence. Whereas Vedic literatures, from the Vaishnava understanding viewpoint, very clearly defines transcendence. It defines the kingdom of God, it describes the form of God, and it describes the activities of God. Now this is very important, because as here Prahlad Maharaj is saying, that the Lord is on the other side of the river of death, and we are on this side. Now there would not be much problem if we are on this side there was also some happiness present, if things were all hunky-dory, as they say, very happy, very nice. But that is not true. This side of the river of death, it symbolizes suffering in the forms of birth, old age and disease, and finally death. And the other side of the river of death, it symbolizes eternality, pleasure, eternal pleasure. So once one is convinced of these two sides of this river, these two opposite banks, then a person becomes interested in going to the other side of the river. Otherwise, people will be very happy trying to make a wonderful arrangement in this world itself. And most of the religious concepts that are present right now in society speak of how to make this world a nice place. Unfortunately, for most of us who have joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we have had Srila Prabhupada, let us say fortunately, who explains that the nature of this world is Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. And then Prabhupada says, I do not say so, he says. Krishna says so. And it is never possible to do that. One can try to be tolerant. Matra sparshastu konte shitoshna sukha dukkhada agama apayino nitya tam titikshasva. One can be titikshu, one can be tolerant. That is all one can do. And this tolerance allows us to feel pleasure. Vishvam purna sukhayate allows one to feel, one to experience pleasure even in this world which is designated as dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So the pleasure that a devotee feels, or a proponent of Vaishnav theology or philosophy feels, is being protected and receiving the constant mercy of the Supreme Lord in this condition, in this material world, and the future world of the kingdom of God that awaits one. That is the pleasure. That is what makes this world a happy place for a devotee. This verse, Prabhupada is explaining two types of devotees. Actually, he says there are two types of pure devotees, two classes of Vaishnavas. And before that, he says there is a pure Vaishnava. And a pure Vaishnava is one who prays to the Lord for not only for himself, but for all other suffering living entities. Once Srila Prabhupada was with some of his disciples, and in an emotional mood, one of his disciples, feeling so much grateful to his spiritual master, he said, Srila Prabhupada, birth after birth after birth, I would like to come back in this material world and serve your preaching mission. And Prabhupada became was very much appreciative of this disciple's desire. However, Prabhupada commented, "No, you go back home, back to Godhead, and I will stay and do the preaching." So, the idea is that sometimes one may feel indebted to the spiritual master, one may feel indebted to the Supreme Lord, and would like to render service in this mood. Birth after birth after birth, I would like to come back to the material world and serve in this preaching mission. The task is glorious, the responsibility great, and the challenges are arduous. One does not realize what such a prayer, what it would lead to. To have compassion for the whole world is the prerogative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only Krishna can do that. Because everyone is a part and parcel of Krishna. It is Krishna's prerogative, or it is his quality, to feel compassion for all living entities. Only when Krishna feels that any particular living entity is qualified enough to share that emotion, to share that connection, does he endow upon that devotee. It's an endowment. It's some inheritance given unto that devotee, and such a pure Vaishnava feels compassion for the whole world. Such a pure Vaishnava actually can bring about a revolution, as Bhagavatam says, in the misguided lives of the entire civilization. We can see from historical perspective that Srila Prabhupada was one such Vaishnava, a pure Vaishnava. So for the rest of the so-called cadre of Vaishnavas, then what is the way? The nature of the living entity who has been entangled in the material world is that we always want the easy way out. Right? There was once a devotee who was sitting actually, two incidences. This devotee was narrating how he became a devotee. He said, "I went into a bar." Before he was a devotee, he would visit bars. This is in the Western world. And on this particular day, he was sharing the table with another person, and this person was preaching to him Krishna conscious philosophy. He's saying, "This is all an illusion. The real goal of life is to surrender unto God. You are not this body, you are spirit soul." So he asked him, "Where did you get this knowledge from?" He said, "From the books of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada." And he said, this particular person was saying, "Actually, I was once practicing, but now I'm here. But you should practice." And he was so forceful in saying that, that this person actually visited a temple and became a devotee, and still a devotee. Right. And there is another such incidence, where someone is distributing books in a bar, and there one person actually said, "I am an initiated devotee, and this is the best philosophy. You should practice it. You are so fortunate you are practicing it." So this material world is, as Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, when he was recently giving his presentation a few weeks back, he said, "This world is actually very dangerous. If we don't take shelter of the Parampad, this superior destination, or the superior shelter, then all that is that one is left with is this inferior shelter." Right? Supposing one is helpless, you know, supposing there is some air raid, and one is not able to go into a very secure bomb shelter, then what does one do? One tries to take shelter under tin roof, hoping that the tin roof would protect us.
But that shelter is not very beneficial. Right? Supposing there's heavy torrential rain, downpours of rainfall. Generally, one would prefer to be in one's house, secure. But supposing one is not in one's house, one is on the street, where would one seek shelter? Under a tree? No, sometimes people try to take shelter of their own clothes. They take out their shirt or something and they try to cover their head. Yeah, it is but natural for the living entity to do that, to seek shelter, especially when one is helpless. However, such shelters are inferior shelters. They do not protect one completely. Similarly, the material world seems to offer some happiness. There's seemingly some pleasure. And because one has not seen, one is not taking shelter of the superior pleasure, one takes shelter of the inferior pleasure. That is sometimes the question comes to mind. If the living entity is the superior energy of Krishna, aparayam itastu anyam prakriti, anya prakriti, it is not the bhinna prakriti, but it is anya prakriti, this is a different prakriti or a superior prakriti, then how come the living entity gets entangled in maya? And the explanation given is, although the living entity is the superior energy of the Lord, the nature of the living entity is that it has to seek shelter of another energy of the Lord. So by nature we are das dasoham, servant of the servant. There's no direct connection with Krishna in one sense. It has to be through one of his energies. So this energy of Krishna is of two types, the superior, the para, and the inferior, the apara. Since we have lost sight of the para prakriti, we have lost sight of our house. Right? You don't have houses everywhere, do you? No, you have one particular house. But definitely there are some trees, some shrubs existing everywhere. So since we have lost sight of our actual shelter, the parampad, we have to take shelter of this inferior energy. But what are the consequences? The consequences are padam padam yat vipad. At every step there is danger. Every pleasure that you try to get, to aspire for, is before that there is danger, and following that there is danger. And hence, pleasure in this material world is simply defined as absence of danger or absence of misery. That is all. So the nature of the living entity which has been entangled in this material world is, one tries to seek the easy way out. Now how does this apply to what we are speaking today? So when we hear of a concept that a pure Vaishnava is one who shows compassion to others, this is much more easy to do, or it appears much more easy than self-purification. Because self-purification is very, very difficult. Every day following the regulative principles, every day following our principles of sadhana is not an easy task. But approaching someone and saying, why don't you take up to Krishna consciousness? This is the best process. And Shastra says, one who does this is a pure Vaishnava. So since our nature is to seek the easy way out, we try to become preachers before we can purify ourselves. Yes, the process of preaching is such that purification automatically will take place. Unfortunately, the problem is our receptacle is not ready for that purification. We do not have the proper receptacle that will absorb the purificatory activities of the preaching work. Therefore, it has been advised that one should always, if one is engaged in the missionary activities as a practicing devotee, then one should always do so under the shelter of another advanced devotee. One should always take the shelter of association of devotees. Otherwise, the pure devotee syndrome will attack us. The pure devotee syndrome in this material world is very dangerous. It is one of the subtle snares of Maya. And it's so easy to be a pure devotee. All we have to do is, my dear Lord, O Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ji, please let the whole world become Krishna conscious. Please be merciful on them. And Prabhupada says, this is a pure Vaishnava's lakshana or qualities. But as we said, this prerogative of feeling compassion for the whole world is only there with Krishna. Only he can feel something like that. He is capable of shouldering that responsibility, and only when Krishna sees a qualified individual does he endow him with that responsibility. Or you can be the Jagat Acharya, or you can be the Jagat Guru. You can be that pure Vaishnava. So there are two types, the Goshtyanandis and the Bhajananandis. And here Prabhupada gives a very simple definition which can generally be misunderstood by someone whose theological understanding is not good. The Bhajananandi worships the Lord only for their own personal benefit. And therefore one may feel that a Bhajananandi is a selfishly motivated pure Vaishnava. A pure Vaishnava can never be selfishly motivated. So when Prabhupada is saying that only for their own personal benefit, it means that the Bhajananandi is such a devotee that he feels himself unqualified to even be in the presence of another living entity. That devotee feels that if I come in contact with another living entity, that living entity will be degraded, his consciousness will be degraded simply by my association. And hence, he engages in Nirjan Bhajan. Such a Bhajananandi devotee, when the Lord influences his heart and endues it and imbibes within that heart that compassionate spirit, then he moves out and becomes a Goshtyanandi devotee. So we should never discriminate between these two devotees and think one is greater than the other. However, from the technical point of view, we can understand that how the Goshtyanandi devotee takes special pains on behalf of the Lord and travels and preaches. Once Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj was asked that, Guru Maharaj, you are establishing so many mathas, you are preaching so far and wide, but what about your spiritual master, Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj? He just stays in one place and does bhajan, Nirjan Bhajan. Gaur Kishor Das Babaji never established any mathas. In fact, he would stay away from them. So what about him? You are a Goshtyanandi devotee, he is a Bhajananandi devotee. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a very, very deep understanding to this. So Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, it is because of the bhajan of Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj that this world is being maintained. It is just by his bhajan, by his chanting, that his preaching effort is expanding. So in that sense, he is a Goshtyanandi. Or he is one of the pioneers of the preaching movement. Yesterday was covered very extensively by His Grace Mahananda Prabhu, the topic of compassion. And there's nothing much that I can add to it. But just some thoughts. Because here it is said that the Lord is compassionate. So compassion, as in any process of give and take, somebody has to give compassion and somebody has to receive compassion, involves three aspects: a recipient, someone who gives compassion, and the process of compassion. And I was just, to a certain extent, a very minuscule degree, trying to analyze this. So recipient of compassion, supposing we want to be the recipients of compassion, what does it take to be a recipient of compassion? There is a story from the Puranas of Lord Shiva, and Parvati, who would regularly at Kashi, they would go and take bath in the Ganga at Manikarnika Ghat and come back. However, Shankarji and Parvati Devi, they would not be visible to the ordinary eyes. In the sense, they would be in a disguised form. And every day, in this disguised form, as a Brahmana and a Brahmani, they would pass a beggar. And every day Parvati ji would see this beggar, and she one day felt so much compassion on this beggar. She said, "My dear Lord, why don't you do something for him?" And Shankarji said, "Well, he is getting the best. Whatever is due to him, he's getting that." No, but he's so poor and he's covered so many sores. My heart, it feels compassion for him." So Shankarji said, "What do you want me to do?" "You bless him with material wealth." Shankarji said, "All right, but he may not be able to understand that." No, please, you do something that helps him out." So Shankarji said, "All right, I will bless him with wealth in a way for which he'll have to work for it. He should not get something without working. Otherwise, he will not know the value of it." So the next day, this Brahmana comes with a watermelon and gifts it to this beggar. And the beggar says, "What is this watermelon? What will I do with the watermelon?" So he goes into the market and sells it for 5 rupees. The person who buys it goes to his house, cuts open the melon, and instead of pulp inside, there are golds and jewels inside. And Parvati is wonderstruck. She said, "What is this? This was supposed to be, you were supposed to help out the Brahmana, not this merchant here, not this person who, this buyer." He said, "I never told this buyer or I never told this beggar what I've put inside. But then, according to their capabilities, according to their qualifications, one, although he received it, he lost it. The other was not supposed to get it, but he got it, and he got the wealth also." So similarly, compassion is the wealth of the heart of a pure devotee. It is the wealth of the spiritual world. If we are not careful recipients of the compassion of a pure devotee, then we may lose it. We may not know its value. From outside, it may appear to be just like any ordinary watermelon. However, if we are a little careful and we take the pains of cutting open the watermelon, which could in this case means following the instructions or hearing from the pure devotee, then the real jewel is God. So what is this? How does a person become qualified to be the recipient of proper compassion? And the Vaishnava theology says that this is only through association of sincere advanced devotees. Hearing from them and following their instructions, service rendered unto such devotees makes one qualified to receive the compassion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The second aspect of compassion is that somebody must be able to bestow compassion on us. Now, supposing that some of us feel that we should also participate in this process of the Supreme Lord by becoming qualified enough to bestow compassion. Let us try to analyze this. According to the Vedic philosophy, there is consciousness present in every species of life. In fact, it is stated that even stones and mountains, boulders have consciousness, although it is so much covered that they appear to be dull matter. Supposing there is a stone on the pathway and I am walking and I hit my foot against the stone, the stone is not going to feel compassion for me, is it? "Oh, I feel so bad that I was in the way of this foot and the foot is hurting." The stone does not feel any compassion. It has no capacity, it has no qualification to feel compassion. Let us take another living entity in another species, like a tree. A tree sometimes shows compassion. If a person is in, there's the sun is blazing hot and there's no other shelter, then there is a shadow of the tree, a foreshadow. That is the compassion of a tree, right? And the person comes under the shadow of a tree and takes shelter and feels some cooling effect. However, if a person becomes so tired that it is not able to approach the tree but faints some distance away from the tree, can the compassion of the tree make the tree move to the patient, to this person? Oh, this person is feeling so shelterless, let me go and give him some shade. No. The tree has the capability of showing some compassion, but not good enough. In the human form of life, however, the capacity to show compassion is there. And therefore the Vedic literatures, they exhort one that take up to the process of self-realization. The Vedanta Sutra states, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Now, because you can be one of the instruments of compassion, become Krishna conscious. Or the Bhagavatam, again and again, Dhruva Maharaj says, right from the beginning of the, from an early age, one should practice Krishna consciousness, because one has a potential of becoming a compassionate instrument of God. Kaumara Acharit Pragyo. And therefore, an intelligent person, since the beginning of one's human form of life, tries to become pure Krishna conscious individual. That is why even Rishabhdev, he instructs his son that now that you've got this human form of life, don't waste it. Don't waste it in the animalistic propensities. Now, from the point of view of compassion, and we'll discuss this further in the third aspect of compassion, let's say from the point of view of compassion in the human form of life, one can show animalistic propensities of compassion. Like a tree's compassion. What is it? How much compassion can a tree give? But it can be glorified as being very compassionate. Supposing a lion is totally full, a tiger is totally full, had its dinner, and we are, you know, somehow or the other, we come face to face with it, and the tiger looks at us and says, all right, go, no problem. And we feel the tiger is so compassionate. Isn't it? If this is the type of compassion we try to show in the human form of life, then there are animalistic propensities. One has to go beyond such animalistic propensities. And that is only possible by Divya Tapasya. Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Sattvam Shuddhed. We have to purify the animalistic propensities that are sticking unto our consciousness through 8 million species of life. Time and again, in so many cycles, this repetition has taken place. So every living entity, every individual has the capacity, has the potential to become a compassionate instrument. One has to become qualified through Divya Tapasya. One should not try to engage in the human form of life in propensities that are possible in other 8 million species of life. And the third aspect of compassion is the process of compassion itself. Srila Prabhupada gave this example so very clearly, elaborately, that's the word. So elaborately he explained this concept. He said, there is a person drowning and an expert swimmer jumps in, swims all the way to this person and comes back with his coat and says, I have saved the coat. What is this? What is the use? So much effort has been put, and all the swimmer does is come back with the coat of a drowning man. Is that glorious? Yes. Because maybe that coat can be given to a homeless person, a person, shelterless person. Yes, that is a glory. But there was the opportunity to save the drowning man and his coat. If one just comes back with a coat and says, all right, this can go to the Salvation Army, or this can go to the Bihar flood affected areas, it's nice, it's good, there is some compassion. However, it is not very beneficial. At least to the person who drowned, it wasn't very beneficial. So what is this saving the coat of a drowning man? What is this concept? Srila Prabhupada explains it through the idea of what is the best welfare work. And he says that there may be a person who's homeless, sick, destitute, wearing ragged clothes. Someone may see him on the street and say, "Oh, you don't have clothes? I have 5 extra pairs. Let me give you some." Yes, just a few days back I was reading one book, and it was a book which was teaching parents how they should inculcate the quality of sharing in children right from an early age. And the idea was that generally, in at least in today's time, parents are very lavishly give their children so many toys and gifts. You know, every time the children go to Vrindavan, they want an extra, some new gift, and they have it. And so this author was trying to tell the parents that if you can inculcate in a child that this particular boy does not have, you have 2, give him 1. So this will bring about the quality of sacrifice in the child. And it's a very good concept. This should be done. Srila Prabhupada takes this concept of sacrifice a little further. He says, yes, somebody may feel I have extra, or there may be a very, very compassionate man, and he may feel that the only clothes that I have, I would like to give it to this person. He is in need more. Sometimes that happens. You know, devotees are eating prasad, and a beggar happens to come by, and devotees feel, oh no, and they give their whole prasad to that beggar. It could happen, and they go hungry, fasting. On a non-acharya's appearance or disappearance day, they go fasting. So sometimes, yeah, it could really pull your heart. So is that real compassion? One may feel one is very compassionate. Definitely there is some shadings of compassion there. Let us try to understand Srila Prabhupada's concept of real compassion. It is not his concept, but it is the proper concept of real compassion. Prabhupada says, so if this beggar is there and he hasn't clothes, one person comes and says, let me give you clothes. Very good. But what about, you know, the next day or the next week or the next month or the year after that? Who's going to do it? Like somehow or the other in Vrindavan, now we are having so many goshalas where cows are being cared for every day in Braj. There are no statistics. If we had statistics, we would find out that there are more traffic accidents wherein cows are hit than humans are hit. And this is in a place in the land which is supposed to protect cows. More cows are hit and left stranded on the streets of Braj. What to speak of other places? So some goshalas have come up. They take in the cows. They take care of them. But it's not an easy affair. It's an expensive affair. So they ask people to sponsor. So someone comes, becomes inspired and says, all right, I'll sponsor for a day. I'll sponsor for a month. This is good. If somehow or the other one can take upon the burden of a cow's care oneself for a lifetime, that would be very nice. A single cow, if one can take care of a single cow oneself, that would be very nice. But still, this is better than, you know, not doing anything. At least sponsoring a cow's one day's grass or maybe a month's grass. Because of certain things, we may not be able to do so. But we should aspire to do that type of go-seva or Vaishnav-seva. So somebody may feel, yes, let me do that. Let me give him food. But what about the next day? So Prabhupada says, someone comes and gives clothes, someone comes and gives food, someone comes and gives medicine. Does it mean he won't go hungry the next day? Does it mean he won't go clothless the next day? But if there is one person who comes and says, hey, I know you. You have forgotten, but I know you. You're the son of my friend, Mr. Sharma. And Mr. Sharma is well off. You're the only child. Let me take you back to your house. But before you go, let me make you presentable. So you give him the clothes, you give him the medicine, you clean him up, and take him to his home, then the person never goes homeless again. So the entire package of compassion means giving Krishna to that person somehow or the other. If everything else is given and Krishna is not given, then there is some benefit, there is some pious credit. However, it is not real compassion. If everything else cannot be given, but if Krishna is given, then it is perfect. Nothing else is required. So this is real compassion. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, a very important verse, especially relevant to today's day and time, in the purport, Prabhupada makes two comments in Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto and 4th canto, and I would like to end with that. In the 6th canto, Prabhupada says, wherein the incidence of Yamaraj being questioned by the Yamadutas over Ajamil, that what is the use of a king? A king is supposed to be all powerful, and in your kingdom these four persons come and they are challenging your right. So Yamaraj explains with them, and one of the verses explains what a king should be doing. And Prabhupada in that purport explains that a king or a government should take pains to see that the citizens can practice Krishna consciousness. That is sum and substance. It's a very elaborate purport. And he concludes that purport and says, when a Vaishnava sees mismanagement in the government, many of us sometimes we want to do so many things in the government, especially now we are becoming so politically wise, and devotees are thinking of ways and means of how one day we can have a Krishna conscious government. So Prabhupada here makes he gives us some advice. He says, when a Vaishnava sees mismanagement in the government, he feels great compassion in the heart and tries his best to purify the situation. Now please pay attention. He tries his best to purify the situation by spreading the Hare Krishna movement. So the best remedy for correcting any mismanagement in the government is one should become more aggressive in preaching. Not aggressive with an egoistic attitude, but aggressive with a compassionate attitude. And that compassion, we must pray every day to the Supreme Lord that He can bestow upon us that compassion, that compassionate spirit. Fourth canto, Prabhupada, wherein King Vena, his rule is being interrupted by all the local brahmanas. And Prabhupada says, although saintly persons have no business in political affairs, they are always compassionate upon people in general. Thus, even though they are always aloof from society, out of mercy and compassion, they consider how the citizens can peacefully execute these rituals and follow rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma. So in today's society, we can see that governments hardly know what to do. The economy is failing, and there's so much analysis going on both in the devotee community and outside the devotee community. The entire institution of social norms are crashing down, and there's so much debate going on within devotee communities and outside devotee communities. Cultural aspects of society is degrading so much that unless and until those circles where Krishna consciousness is practiced, the attention span is not more than 5 seconds. You need images to move as fast as possible. It cannot be a still image for some time. The attention span is lost. The attention is lost. So, cultural aspects, how can cultural aspects be present within a 5 seconds span? Culture cannot be present in 5 seconds. You know, this is culture. It requires some time to be imbibed and then grow, proliferate. So culturally, socially, economically, there is so much debate going on how to bring about a change. And in all of these affairs, one's intelligence is being so much utilized. The challenge that the Vaishnava community worldwide is facing is how to further advance the preaching movement. And here Prabhupada concludes it by this statement from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Jare dekha tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amar agyay guru hai tara ei desh.
Somehow or the other, whomever you meet, please preach to him about Krishna. Give Krishna unto him. And in this way, there can be a change. The real change can be brought about. Because this is the way that Krishna's compassion can come through. When devotees surrender to the will of Krishna by following the instructions of pure Vaishnavas like Srila Prabhupada. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Tai Gaur Premanande.